Yes.
Who are the folks that are leaving tonight?
This is Taylor and
Aaron.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, it's real good. It's awesome. Praise Jesus. Which one's on? Both of them? Like, don't go. Don't go yet. Yeah, once you guys come here, I just want to bless you real quick. Everybody point your hand at these two. I just it was just a real blessing.
And,
amen. God is so good. Lord, I just thank you for Taylor, Lord God. What a blessing she is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, that which is in this room tonight, Lord God, your spirit, and we're just filling people up, Lord God, I ask that you'd fill them up as well right now. To fill them up to overflowing. I thank you, Lord, for the prophetic voices. There's a real river of the prophetic that's deep within both of you. And the hand of the Lord was on you in a mighty way tonight. You broke into something that you've not known yet. And there's a different anointing in this place because it's the move of God that's on the horizon. And God imparted something deep in your spirits. So just continue to move and be free in that in the name of Jesus Christ. And I just request, do not allow the walls of religion to close in on you.
Yes, Lord.
And they try to block you and block this move, this spirit.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
And God will open up the doors to you to be able to share the giftings that are in within you. And continue to give you the word. In Jesus' name I declare. Lord, I ask you to release Psalm 91 over this. These two right now, Lord God, I should commission your war angels to surround and protect them. I thank you for filling them up to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And we just bind the powers of darkness away from them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is so good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Lewis, I'm ringing just a little bit. I feel like I'm ringing. Praise the Lord. That's better. You know, I really believe in that the Lord would just, that we'd have an axe experience where the ground shakes and we all get filled up. It's something I've just been believing for since the beginning. And I still am holding that out there. I was reminded of it tonight and I really felt that we were pressing into something. So thank you so much for coming because, you know, sometimes it's the way God moves sometimes has a lot to do with the people that come. And when you spend time in the presence of the Lord in your own lives, it adds to what God does here. And I felt it's almost to a point where we're ready to go down on our knees tonight. So just, it's okay. You want to go down on your knees, or go on your face, that's completely okay. And we just really, amen. I can see what's going on here. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a disciple, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with the word. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. Praise you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you for what you've done in this our midst already. And we just continue to allow you to lead us and just receive from you again in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, let's go to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. Not going to be too long. So there's no question that you and I are involved in spiritual warfare. And it's something that We all need to be led in by the Holy Spirit. It's not something you just like read your Bible or get a spiritual warfare book and you just go out and you just apply it and it happens. It's not necessarily like that. And so I think it's important in your ministries that you're aware of the fact that obviously you are in spiritual warfare, but that you have success in it and that it's Spirit-led. You know, because Jesus said, laid it all out, he says, I can do nothing on my own. I can only do what I see the Father doing. And so we have to see how to combat the very things that are against us. And individually in your own life, you confront things, and then of course you have things in other people's lives that you're fighting for them. But I want to just specifically talk about your own life. And it's easy to talk about because it's something that I walk through and that you walk through, so it's kind of easy to talk about because I kind of can identify how things happen, you know, how they unfold. And in this particular scripture, there's already laid out for us kind of a way the enemy attacks us, how it all begins, and then how we react and how we respond to it. And David's a perfect example. And in 1 Samuel 17, you know, when David was still tending sheep, he's in transition. He's been anointed to be king already. And so he's just now kind of following through on, you know, what's going to take place and what's going to happen. And so he's led to this battle, you know, where the Philistines are up against the nation of Israel. And so in verse 11, it says, when Saul of Israel heard these words of the Philistine, that it was the giant, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And so the very first thing that comes at you to try to attack you is fear. And fear comes in many different forms. And you have to be able to identify it. And it can be even doubt. It can even be unbelief. It can be like, oh, God can't do it, or whatever it might be. But it always starts with fear, because you got the two doorways. You got the doorway of faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. And then you have the reciprocal of that, which is fear, which is the enemy's doorway. And he uses that doorway on the world. He uses that doorway on societies, on nations, and everything. Because if he can get fear in there, then he can mess things up and he can rule, because that's his territory, that's his turf. So the only way he can really affect you or me is to somehow get us on his turf. And so he does it through deception and luring us and those types of things. And it's usually in the battleground of the mind. And just because you have a thought in your mind that might be fearful or worry or any type of thing like that doesn't necessarily mean it's got you hooked. It just means that it hit your mind. That's why the scriptures tell us to take every thought captive. And so this is where it begins. And it may be something that might be in you one day, but not the next day. But then it comes back and visits you. And the next time it visits you again. And it uses the circumstances that are around you and me to dictate to you what's going to happen to you, or what might happen to you, or what could happen to you. You know? And so you have to understand that that's always the point of origin. And so it's easy, in one sense, to pick out the enemy, because he only has one language, and that's fear. That's his language. You know, we have a love language, he has a fear language, right? And that is its area. And people are ruled by the fear. You can always tell them, and I know that, Robert, you probably around a lot of people that have been terrorized by fear and ruled by fear. And they live in fear. And so it's something that you come across. So there's a lot of ministry. That's why one of the things, that's why you're so effective in your ministries, because you're walking in love. You're not ruled by fear. So you have something that's different than the world has. It says, Jesus said that in the last days that men's hearts shall fail them because of fear. And so fear is a force that the enemy uses to gain entrance and to stop Christians. And so that, just one point, that is the point of origin. That's the thing that attacked you to begin with. So whatever you're dealing with right now, at some point in time, it got birthed in fear. And so I'm not trying to knock you or to knock myself per se, because we have, you know, been duped, because we all have at some point in time. But the lesson today is, okay, that happened, but what are we going to do about it? You know, how are we going to deal with this thing? And so I like this scripture because it points out so many things. So David, here's what's going on in the battle lines. And so he moves forward into his mission, which is to take out the giant. He may not know it at the moment, but he's being moved and maneuvered by God. He's in the will of God. And he's called to be king, and he unknowingly, but it does come out in the scripture, was being trained in his job as a shepherd. And so I would submit to you that everyone in here has been trained in a job, trained in some type of a thing that you do. And that was his shepherding. You know, I was a coach for 40 some years, I guess. Make myself young again. But, you know, so I was trained in the athletic realm and coaching divers. And in my particular field, fear was big because, you know, when you hold yourself off 30-some feet, you don't land right, it doesn't hurt just a little bit. It hurts a lot. And so it's amazing to me that somebody would perform something even before they came to college, and they smacked like 15 years ago. But that one smack, that one point of contact where fear entered them can dictate years and can form bad habits. And then they all of a sudden show up in my dojo, in my house, in my pool, and I've got to unravel all that. And it's so detailed, it's the thing so intricate on how, you know, even though you could put them in a harness and duplicate and show that, hey, you got complete control over this, but yet that one incident. In fact, I had a girl one time who was so froze up she couldn't even dive in the water. It was so strange. It was the most bizarre thing I'd ever seen. But I've seen it happen before. This other girl was... You know, she, what happened with her, she would get frustrated, then she would get angry, and then fear would enter. It was like a progression. And so that's exactly how this giant worked on the nation of Israel. It was a progression. What did he do? He came out every day, and he yelled to the ranks of Israel, you know, come out, bring out your champion, fight with me, and if you win, now we'll leave, or you'll conquer us, or whatever. And he whittled them down. And that's exactly how fear operates. It comes back. It's a thing that just, you know, will hound you. So David is being trained, and so he makes this statement. He says, what's going on here? And they say, you know, well, there's a giant coming out. And David goes, his response in verse 26, it says, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God? It doesn't compute to him. He says, I mean, you know, you guys, who's that guy? Who is this giant that can do that? He can't, it doesn't compute. He's been conditioned. He said, nothing can, you know, God, nobody can taunt the armies of God. Nobody can take on God. Why are you all going through this? And so he has the upper hand already. And he's already making this statement. So he moves forward with these two revelations. He knew the giant was oppressing God and not him, or not Israel. He knows that this giant is up against God. See, and that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to put you on the same level as him. He wants you to fight him, because he can't fight God. He's already lost. You see where I'm going with this? When we see, we need. I shared that in the word of the week. If you guys got it, if you listened to it, that Jesus leads us in triumph, and that picture is him at the front as a general in the Roman army. Because that's what Paul was really talking about then. He was, the general would be in front. They'd come in and conquer the different lands. The general would lead a procession, and behind the procession were the captives. And then they would light up these incense, and it was the sweet smell of victory. And that's when he makes that scripture says, God always leads us in triumph. Well, you have been captured, whether you know it or not, because he chose you. You didn't choose him. So Jesus actually captured us with his love. And we're in the procession. That's his victory. And so when I try, if I'm going to sit there and try to take on the enemy in my own power, in my own strength, in my own, not in the victory of God, I'm not going to win that battle. So it's not my battle. It's the Lord's battle, and he's already won. And so David knows this. And so you can see the way he approaches it. So he knew that the giant was opposing God and not him. Verse 26 and 27, you read that here. I just read it. And David spoke to the men who were standing by him, saying, what will be done for the man who kills the Philistine, takes away the reproach from his Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of a living God? So that's on his mind. Second thing is he had an experience that the Lord had delivered him. So that's why I'm going back to your experiences. In your job, something in your life, God taught you something about warfare. You have victories back there somewhere. And if you're not, then you're heading towards one.
Amen.
So David is pulling on something that God had done, where God clearly demonstrated to him a victory in a warfare that he could not in himself win.
Yes, sir.
And you have to be able to identify things in your life where you have had victories where you and yourself could not have done it. And there's a lot of them probably. I can go through my life and I can pick out different ones, and there are a lot of them. I always would be sitting there, man, I said, Lord, man, you really did it today. Man, you did it. I had no idea. You did that. I don't know how you even did what you did, but you did it. You know? And just you can bathe in that, and you can really relish in that. And those are the memories that I think are just so impressive in our lives, where the hand of God moved, and we were there to witness it. So he goes, and he remembers in verse 33 and 37, verse 33 through 37, because then Saul said to David, you must not be able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you're but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by the beard and struck him, and I killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has, what, taunted the armies of a living God. Then he goes on here, and the Lord said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. So you see where David's coming from. He knew that the Lord gave him a victory. And he's operating off of the grounds that it's not his battle. That this giant has come against God. Not against come against God. And David, who is this force that can come against the creator of the heavens and the earth? He's nothing. He is nothing. This is easy. This is easy stuff here. He's like, this is basic faith 101. And all the nation of Israel couldn't get it because the nation of Israel was drinking up fear to the point where they couldn't even attack, even though God was on their side. And somehow they forgot about all that. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and may the Lord be with you. I would have liked to have seen King Saul's expression. Go, may the Lord be with you. He's going to be mincemeat. Yeah, I mean, you Saul, I don't know. Who knows? So, now, there's a couple things here that we need to look at. He had experienced that the Lord had delivered him. The key is, one of the keys here is in verses 40, let's go on here, let's go to verse 41 here, I believe it is. And this is interesting, there's so much to glean here in this warfare. Then the Philistine came on and approached David with the shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth with a ruddy and with a handsome appearance. So David apparently was handsome, and he was a youth, but he disdained him. Now, that word disdained is interesting because he was saying that he was unworthy. You're unworthy to fight with me. I am a giant. You're just but a youth. I mean, he was dead. He could see he was insulted that they would send, you know, David at him. So he's you're unworthy, and you can hear that same thing in the enemy's life. You're unworthy. You're a sinner. You know, you remember that sin that you committed back in, you know, 1974 or whatever, and you did this, and you know, oh, you remember that, and you're not worthy. What do you think you deserve? What's happening to you? And he puts those thoughts in your head. Well, you know, you're reaping what you sowed. He disdains you. You're not worthy to fight with him. And so this is the attack. It's subtle, but it's consistent, and it's repetitive, and it whittles you down to the place to where you don't think you have the ability in God to actually change the situation or to attack this giant that's attacking you, that you get to a place of acceptance. Well, that's just the way it is. Or you get to that place where God must be allowing this. And once you get to that place, you're in a world of hurt. You don't even know it, but you are. Because you're confused even what the will of the Lord is. And then the reason why you're confused is, and it comes because what he does is the enemy tries to cloud your very relationship with Jesus. And that's why it's so important to spend time in his presence. Find the time, those alone times, to know him. Because when you know him, you'll know what he will do and what he won't do. And you're also aware of the areas that he's trying to improve you in. And so you may be going through some of this stuff, but he's there to train you, to teach you to be like a David. And that's what this whole impartation is about, to impart to you how to approach these areas where fear had entered in, or doubt, or maybe something hasn't come to pass yet in your life, that something seems like it's being held back or you're being blocked or whatever. This is for you to be able to successfully war, to leave out of here with a strategy and a battle plan to actually take him out. So David goes on here and says, and the Philistine came on and approached David, and the Philistine looked and saw David. He disdained him, for he is but a youth, ruddy and handsome appearance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. So obviously the Philistine was under little g's, little gods, little Elohims, if you read the Hebrew there. And there are little gods, they're still there. They've been stripped, but they're still there. So he cursed them by his gods. The Philistine also said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the field, the sky, and the beasts of the field." And then David has something to say here. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, a javelin, but I come to you in what? In the name of what? In the name of the Lord of hosts." So the very first thing out of his mouth is he presents God. He presents the all authority, all power. He presents the only way he's going to take him out is because it's not up to him. It's up to him. He said, "You can come to me with this, but I come to you and God with God. Here's God. Here's God." He throws God right at him. And what's he going to do? He can't do anything about that. And that's what you need to do. You've got to understand, you come into battle, you come into against a giant in your life, and you come to him with the Lord Jesus, with the name of Jesus. But understanding, you're in the procession of the triumph that he is leading, because he is the head of the church. He is the head of you. He is the victor. And you follow that victory. It's like he's blocking, and you're right behind him. That's how you do it. "But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted." So he taunted you. You would call it deception, whatever it might be. Maybe you fell for it, maybe you didn't. It doesn't really matter. But at the end of the day, he did do something. Because you're engaging in a battle with an unseen force, because the Apostle Paul said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So that's what you're up against, an unseen force. And I like this. Then he goes, "Whom you've taunted, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know," what? "That there is a God," that God, Yahweh, that Jesus, is in the church. It's not that I am successful warrior, David. No, that they may know that God is Lord. It's having the right attitude to come behind the victory that's prepared for us. It's the only way. There's no other way. "This day the Lord will deliver you." So he's prophesying to him what he's going to do. But the word of the Lord is in his mouth. So he's prophesying, but it's the rhema word of God that is in his mouth. The word of God is nigh thee, even in what? In thy mouth. You have to have the rhema word of God. It takes time in prayer. It takes time in intercession. It takes time in relationship. And some of you minister and you know how to have that flow come through you. It's not any different when you're in spiritual warfare. You get into the presence of God, that the word of the Lord, the rhema word, because Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but what? By every rhema word that comes out of the mouth of God. And if the word of God is nigh thee in thy mouth, and he is in your spirit, and he's one with you, that means you are fully charged in your spirit. Full power is in you right now. And your soul makes the decision to release the rhema word of God out of your spirit, where the Spirit of God reigns and rules and is King of Kings, out of your mouth into the very thing that you're confronting. And it's not you. It's him. Because it says, put on The armor of God. If the armor of God is on you and you're confronting unseen force, how does that force even know that it's not God? Because this armor, his armor is on you. This day the Lord will deliver you to my hands. I will strike you down and remove your head from you, and I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that the earth may know the earth. He's not even talking about that the nation of Israel may know, or the people down there. He said the earth's going to know this. Do you know that the earth knows this today? The earth knows that David did that. So it's not only is the word of the Lord in him, the Lord is prophesying something that millions and millions of people were going to read one day. It's amazing. That the earth will know, that all the earth will know that there is a God in Israel, and all that this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by the sword or by the spear. This is so interesting. How in the world could David have ever said that? God was in his mouth. He is prophesying to this giant. And all of a sudden they know that the Lord does not deliver with the sword or by the spear. So he's talking, he's ministering, not just to this giant, he's ministering to the nation of Israel. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hands. Then it happened. So David, he takes this, he gets the word of the Lord, he's in the presence of God, he releases the word of the Lord, and now it's fighting time. Then it happened, when the Philistine rose and came and draw near to meet David, that David, what did he do? He ran quickly towards the battle line to meet the Philistine. So he is charged. He can't wait. He just, I can't wait to get your head off you. I don't want to hear you anymore. I want to take you out. God is with me. He has provided this victory. And so he runs. He didn't sneak up. He didn't, he goes right smack at him. This is what spiritual warfare is. When you are about ready to take the sword of the Spirit, you are in the place where you have been in the presence of God. You have the word of the Lord in your mouth. You have the armor on. And now it's fighting time. There's some preparation. He reflects in his past. Now you're prepared, and now it's fight time, and you run after this thing. You are aggressive. You don't hope that you're going to take the giant's head off. You don't hope. No, you go after him. I'm learning a lot tonight. That all the assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by the sword or spear, for the battle line is the Lord, battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hands. Then it happened, the Philistine rose and came and drew near to David, that David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put the hand into his bag and took from it a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on its forehead, right in the brain. And the stone sank into his forehead, so that he fell on his face to the ground. Thus David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in David's hand. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw their champions was dead, they fled. See, when you're successful in slaying the giant in your life, you put yourself in a position to be promoted. it's not that you're going after a promotion. I'm just telling you, you will be promoted. You will. You will be promoted. Take out the giants in your life, and God will promote you. Just like he did. I mean, there was a reward for David. And God, we serve a kind God. We serve a God that rewards. It says that he rewards those who diligently seek him. And so there's rewards on the other end of this. And you know, some of you need a blessing right now. Some of you deserve a blessing. Some of you know so much about the Word of God, but it's never been presented to you in such a way that's given you the correct strategy to be able to use it and be successful and to be able to conquer giants, one after another, after another, after another. This giant will fall just like that last giant did. Yes. You're not coming against me. You're coming against the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto him. And he has given me authority in my mission on this earth. This was David's mission. And when you're in your mission, you will be given the authority to take out the giants. So be encouraged. Be encouraged. God is so good. Amen. Alex, you said you had something to share, buddy. Come on up.
Can I take the microphone?
You may. Here.
Thank you. How y'all doing? Hello?
It's on.
It's on.
Hello? Okay. How y'all doing today? Hey, y'all. So those of you that don't know me, my name is Alex. I just wanted to share something with you. So first off, I am going to school to be a minister. It's a wonderful thing to be called into, something that I didn't realize that the Lord had been preparing into my life for some time, and I'm very blessed. And I'm sharing this with you not just to tell you personally about me, but the fact that I felt unprepared and what I was wanting to do with my life was, again, different. And I just felt the Lord trying to say that there are folks in here that are chosen, that have spiritual talents. And I feel like, you know, the church in some areas has backslidden. The church has taught for us to believe in some areas that we may not have the gifts, that we may not have the gift of prophecy, that we may not have the gift of giving and showing mercy. But these are all things that we still carry. It just takes a moment to just say, hey, you know, and I'm saying that to encourage someone, because there may be some folks that I know that maybe, how do I know I'm chosen? How do I know that I have something? You know, I believe that it's not about the age. It's not about how you believe your appearances. I was reading in scripture, and thank you for bringing up 1 Samuel. In 16, verse 7, it says, "The Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him." He was talking about his brother. But he says, "The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at our hearts." And good. I know personally, and I want to share with someone in this room, that being chosen is heavy. Sometimes it calls for a period of isolation. Sometimes being chosen is a burden because you may be lower down into areas of your life that you were not expecting to. But when you start to, I'm saying that just, I believe this is speaking to someone. I believe that he lifts you up in that time of distress, in that time of doubt. He turns the doubt into goodness.
That's good.
And another scripture that was put on my heart, I have two. So the next one, second one is Nehemiah. There was opposition to the rebuilding. Nehemiah 4 says, when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall that had been taken down, he became angry and he was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews. And in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, "What are these feeble Jews doing?" And I don't know if anybody in here has ever just been shot down because you had a dream and somebody said, "Get below," you know? And then verse 4 says, "Hear us, our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads." Verse 6 says, "So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart." To go after something with all your heart means you put your flesh and blood into it. It means that maybe one day you think that people will cherish it and they'll actually see that it's part of you. And the last scripture that I'd just like to read to encourage your hearts. This is Proverbs 18. The name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Before a downfall, the heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. A gift opens the way and ushers the giver into the presence of the great. So if anybody here, maybe they feel led to something, really I just pray that humility would continue to bring the gift that God has in your heart. And that's what I wanted to just share. So thank you for listening.
That's good.
Good job.
Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you for your just a blessing tonight, Lord God. It's so nice to be in this presence. It's just awesome. Father, I just ask you to continue to minister to us, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, that you've changed us tonight, that you've done some unknown work even in our midst that we're going to find out about. But we just thank you for that. We just give you all the glory and all the honor. We just ask you to continue to come and to build this, whatever you're doing here, Lord God, that you come and continue to build your place, your church. And I thank you for that, God. We just bless you. We love you. And we thank you so much for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
So what do you guys get this off?